The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
This new high-level strategy document, which is outlining a vision for Ireland's immigration system over the next decade, has emphasised that future policy must benefit the people of Ireland. So joining us to break it down is Irish Independent political correspondent Conal Thomas. We're also joined by Rory Hearn, Social Democrats TD for Dublin North West and spokesperson for housing. But Conal, I'll come to you first. This is your story, this high-level strategy document. It hasn't been published yet, but you have reported on it this morning. What is in it, and does it signify a big shift in policy?
I suppose, firstly, this went to the Cabinet Subcommittee on Migration within the last few weeks. The government has pledged to undertake outline a 10-year strategy for migration for the next 10 years. And what's going to happen now is that based on this document that we're reporting on now, a draft strategy will go to Cabinet, go to ministers next month, and it will be finalised by the summer. Now, there's a couple of things in tandem with that. One, the International Protection Bill will come into effect in June. The EU Asylum Pact will also come into effect, which Ireland has signed up to. And it also comes ahead of us taking up the presidency of the EU Council. It's interesting, this is quite a lengthy document that we're reporting on today, and I won't go into all of it, but the language in it is very important, I think, and I think there's probably going to be some debate over this, because as you said at the start there, it sets out that migration into Ireland must be to the benefit of the Irish people, and that a central tenet of it must be social cohesion. Now, this is the first parts of this document, it's my understanding, were authored by Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan. And the document states that it warns that ministers that the migration system must be founded on respect for the social and cultural norms of Ireland. We know the government has already taken a number of steps, I suppose, to toughen its stance on migration. So we've seen changes around the family reunification. We've seen the International Protection Bill, which is aimed at speeding up processing times. And we've seen tougher stance on citizenship. So while all of that's in there, it does also go into the importance of integration in Irish society. This is not some sort of just hardline document. Mm-hmm. It does state quite explicitly, we will also, for instance, as the population grows and as the population ages, still need to rely heavily on inward migration for the likes of healthcare workers. Similarly, it states that if we want to get 300,000 homes by 2030, which is the government's plan, we will need to, again, rely on migrant workers. But it does also clearly state that the pressures on the system that we have seen over the last few years, and in particular, it notes the €2 billion spend on international protection accommodation, is unsustainable. I think what you're seeing in this document that we're reporting on now, which will form the basis of the 10-year strategy, is the political impetus from the coalition and the political impetus from a justice minister who has taken a harder line on immigration as we move to the next 10 years. And what's interesting is this isn't a 5-year plan, or this won't be a 5-year plan. It will be a 10-year plan. So I think there's an element here of the Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan wanting to also set the direction for a decade with this new strategy when it is published.
So in this document, we don't have specific policy measures that might be taken. This is more, this is our viewpoint. Mm-hmm. This is the impact of it, of immigration. And here's what could happen.
Exactly. And it does a number of modelling as well in terms of it. I mean, like if you look at the data that's available from April 2024 to April 25, it saw inward migration of about 125,000 people. And that was a decrease on 16% the previous year. So the IP numbers have obviously come down with outward migration, 65,000 people, resulting in net inward migration of 60,000 people. But in all of this, there are so many economic factors that you need to take into account. So as I said, there's the healthcare workers, there's the impact it could have on, there's the impact of student migration into Ireland, et cetera, et cetera. And I think what you're seeing here is Jim O'Callaghan effectively setting out the direction of travel on migration from which the policies he's already introduced or is introducing, whether that's the IP bill, whether that's the family reunification rules, will be fed into this document from a number of different departments of the high-level group working on that, and will also then set out the direction for all policy, migration and immigration policy, following on from that
for the next 10 years. But the theme or the characterisation of it, I mean, how would you characterise it? Does it demonstrate a harder line?
Yeah, definitely, particularly in the opening paragraphs. As I say, I mean, an increase in people coming to Ireland, I'll just read this out, has placed pressure on certain public services. The ability to integrate and increase demand for accommodation. I think what you're seeing here, I think there's an argument you could say based on the line we're running today, which stuck out to me, was that it must be to the benefit of Irish people and that social cohesion has to be key. There's probably some people who would say that's quite nationalistic language. There are others who would argue as I think the government would, that this is common sense. This is a common sense approach. This is a practical approach. The problem I think we've seen when integration has become such a flashpoint the last few years is that common sense approach, or that common sense thinking, veers towards being manipulated by certain sectors of society. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit in here as well. I thought it was interesting. It does talk, obviously, about the benefits of migration. And I should say it does stress that, absolutely. But there's not a whole lot in it around, say, anti-racism measures, which struck me. It does say that anti-racism measures and integration measures by the state should be bolstered, because the National Action Plan on...
It does say that.
It does say that, because there's an opportunity there, because the National Action Plan on racism effectively expires last year. And it does... It absolutely acknowledges that some people from different ethnicities coming into Ireland have a more difficult time of it than others. But I think what you're seeing here in the opening paragraphs of this, which I understand were authored by Jim O'Callaghan, is a tougher stance. And it's a culmination, I think, of what we've seen since the coalition was formed. Mm-hmm. We know the coalition came in having criticised Fine Gael under the Justice Ministry, saying we do need to take a harder stance. And in many ways, immigration has... I suppose not gone off the boil as an issue, but it has reduced in people's minds, I think. We're not seeing the same level we would have seen in recent years, and it could crop up again. But we've even seen this in our Sunday Independent polls, where what we're asking people, you know, what is the most pressing issue? Whereas immigration used to be very high up in there with housing and cost of living. It's going down, and it's gone down consistently. And the last one we would have had would have been about 50% would have been housing, 48% cost of living, immigration down to 20%. So I think there's an argument, some people would say the government's got a handle on this, and what they're going to do now is they're going to bring out this 10-year plan, coinciding, as I say, with the EU Asylum Pact coming into effect and us taking the presidency. Okay. Because bear in mind, the EU Asylum Pact is all about harmony between EU states, it's about controlling borders, and it's about speeding up processing times.
But what's interesting is that, you know, you've got the family reunification plans, and you've got what you've just been talking about there, the EU plan. And clearly the government doesn't believe that those combined are enough.
No.
You know, and that they need this 10-year strategy with whatever measures they will take therein.
No, and I think there are other things that Jim O'Callaghan, as I say, has pointed. It's been interesting to look at the debate on this in the Dáil, because in the last few months, I mean, Jim O'Callaghan would have announced the family reunification plans last November, and the coalition's kind of rolled back a little bit, or has relented a little bit, because people were, some opposition parties, and even some Fine Gael were arguing that the 3-year limit for family reunification was too tough, and they've now agreed to bring it down to 2 under these plans. But I suppose the culmination of all these things is that Ireland, particularly ahead of the EU presidency, wants to, as it were, seem to be putting on the blue and yellow jersey as it takes on, and show that it is fully behind this pact. It's bringing through its international protection bill, which, as I say, aims to speed up processing times down to about 6 months. Now, there's been a lot of controversy or criticism of the government of trying to guillotine that bill, but it is quite explicit in this strategy document that will be in place by June the 12th. So you've all these concurrent things coming together. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's bring in Rory Hearn, who's been listening to all of that. Rory, thanks for being with us this morning from the Social Democrats. There is balance, it would seem, in this document. There is an appreciation for migrant workers who are coming in here, filling roles in areas like healthcare. There's an acknowledgement that we need them, particularly if we're going to make progress on housing. Do you see the balance, or do you think it's taking more of a harder line?
Well, thanks, Claire, and good morning to you and your listeners. Well, first of all, I haven't seen the document. I'm only going on the basis of what, you know, was reported in the Irish Independent by Connell this morning.
As we all are, because it hasn't been published yet, but we're glad to get the benefit Connell's reporting.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and just to say that, but in terms of the broader kind of what Connell has outlined there, it's important to highlight the document does clearly acknowledge, as is reported, the positive aspects to immigration, and that, you know, we need migration to fill key areas in our economy, for example, healthcare in particular, the care sector, construction. And people know, you know, there's so much of our economy now is, you know, migrant workers are a key part of it, and new communities and new arrivals to Ireland. And so this is important that we highlight that. And the other side of it is that is going to continue, that the document sets out that these key sectors, particularly when we look at housing, we will need workers, the healthcare sector, we will need workers from abroad. But I think there's other aspects to it. You know, what Conal was saying there about, you know, the opening paragraphs and the framing of this and the language used within it. And that's very important, because you know, we have had in the Social Democrats serious concerns about how the government, this new government and under the minister, has been framing the immigration discussion and debate and questions around it. And this taking, as referred to, as this harder line. And our concern has been that there's an element of performance within it. It's like it's playing politics with immigration. So as was set out, the opening paragraphs are saying, you know, essentially taking this harder line, raising issues of social cohesion, you know, this idea of, you know, immigration must be a benefit to the Irish people. But then going on, and the rest of the document has more balance in it. So the question is, well, why is this? Why is it being communicated in this way? And my concern, and our concern as Social Democrats, is there is an element of scapegoating going on. And when I hear this in the Dáil, the Taoiseach will get up and reference, you know, whether we raise issues around disability services or we raise issues around housing and homelessness, you know, the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach comes back and says, oh, well, you know, we've rising population, we've immigration. And it's almost as if taking the heat off their policy failures. And I'll give two examples from my own constituency. I was at a community safety meeting in Ballymun on Monday night. People were talking about open drug dealing going on during the day, that children have to walk past going to school, the need for more Gardaí to go to be put in. Another person got in touch with me in relation to their child, a three-year-old, a six-year waiting list to access disability services, local CDNT services. And my concern is that there is an element of this scapegoating or putting the attention onto immigration for this issue around pressure in our public services.
Okay, so and I
when
say,
the real cause of our public services is the lack,
you would
of,
say
investment
lack of investment
and the lack of resources.
Okay, can I put this point to you, which is also in this document, as reported by Conal this morning, warning that state spending of €2 billion on international protection accommodation is unsustainable. Do you agree with that, that it's unsustainable at €2 billion?
Well, in terms of that cost, it absolutely, you know, when we look at this, the cost that we're spending and how we're spending, it is, you know, these costs are, you know, in terms of particularly when we break down the accommodation, we have put forward proposals for a number of years that there should be state developed centres that, so we're not reliant on this for-profit private provision of various forms of emergency accommodation, international protection accommodation. There is a huge amount of spending going on in terms of that. And at the heart of it is this outsourced model, this private model of delivery of accommodation, and the government's response to the international protection requirements are this kind of private, you know, people know it, reliant on hotels, reliant on B&Bs, and it's hugely expensive. It is hugely expensive. There's a different way of doing it, which we have proposed, which wouldn't cost that amount. So those costs are too high in terms of it, but the issue is not providing that we shouldn't be providing international protection. We should be, but the way in which we're doing it is a really expensive way.
Yeah, so are you saying you're happy with the controls and the systems around immigration in Ireland at the moment, outside of the accommodation costs, which you've explained to us?
Yeah, well, I think that when we look at it, and again, you know, this discussion, we are absolutely for, you know, we want a human rights-centred international protection system that where Ireland respects and implements the rules, our international obligations, and takes a human rights and a person-centred approach that does show compassion and does show care. And in terms of how we're doing it now, we do have concerns in relation to that, and that is mentioned about family integration in terms of, you know, there's other issues there we are concerned about, that people's human rights are being met. But on a whole, at the overall perspective, we do want a system that works for people, that's efficient, that's effective. But also we know that Ireland, you know, is gaining, you know, we're gaining as a society, and we will see it on St. Patrick's Day next Tuesday. We will see new communities embracing Irish culture. We see them, they're playing Irish sports, the hurling, the GA. You know, this idea that we have something to fear from immigration, and that is my concern, that we have actors, we know they're there, political actors in the far right who are agitating in communities saying immigration is the fault, you know, asylum seekers are a problem, whipping up all these fears. And the language from government then plays a role in supporting that. If it uses language like, which is saying we're taking a harder line, you know, and we've the Taoiseach writing, you know, substacks about immigration and homelessness and the pressure, they are playing into, they are playing with that politics as well.
Rory, I have to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining us. Rory Hearn from the Social Democrats and political correspondent at the Irish Independent, Conal Thomas, who brought us that story. We will take...
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.